Right, so feelings of muddle and confusion are common when approaching any piece of qualitative analysis for the first time. So note that, and know it's true, and it's not you not knowing or anything, it's so common. We're not sure what we should be looking for, whether or not what we're doing is correct, whether or not the themes we have tentatively chosen are appropriate or complete. Indeed, as the process of analysis continues, we may even begin to doubt the function and purpose behind what we're doing at all. Things that could not be seen at first become so clear to us that they begin to lose their significance. It's important also to recognize that this is part of the process of qualitative research, where the researcher is central to the sense that is made. Part of exploring the meaning of text is to explore the ways in which your own subjectivity is structured, how the meaning is defined in the first place. So listen to your inner voice as you do your analysis, and note down your thoughts and feelings, even if you think they're not important at the time. If you find it difficult to stay focused on the task, note that if you wonder whether others will agree with your interpretation at certain points, or any feelings of empathy you might experience with the story, you know, like when you say, oh, I know what that means, or when something's very alien, the opposite, you know, no idea what that's about. And this is called reflexive awareness, when you respect and acknowledge the different meanings brought to the research by the researcher and participant, and when these characteristics, whether of the situation or the person, are valued as resources rather than factors to be screened out or ignored. Okay, so these are strengthening our work, not being problematic. In qualitative research, the best way to arrive at a good account, if you like, of the text is to explore the ways in which your own subjectivity and that of the participant has influenced your method and interpretation. And remember that the interviewee or the person telling the story in a piece of text is not passive to the structure and meaning. He or she is an active participant, achieving both joint and individual goals by telling or writing his or her story. Always begin by reading and rereading the text many, many times. Become as familiar with it as possible. During the early stage of analysis, it can be very helpful to work with other people. Note the different ways in which the text could be described. Describe the text to someone who has never read it before. How do you interpret the story? Doing this can help you recognize the key features and gives you somewhere to begin. So I used to get, for example, my students to say, okay, you've read Laura's story, so right now one person would read Laura's story and the other person would read Barbara's story. And I'd say, okay, the person who read Laura, describe Laura to the person who read Barbara, and vice versa. So rather than read them both, they begin like that. The whole idea being the person you're talking to hasn't read anything about Laura, so what is it you're going to say? You're not looking at it anymore, but just off the top of your head. Those are the things you really attended to initially that stood out, right? And that helps you begin somewhere, helps you focus. Discovering themes is often the first part of the analysis process, which we've talked about. Okay. And it's mainly descriptive. Work systematically through the text and itemize objects or subjects that appear. This can be achieved by looking for nouns, where they are, what could they signify. Note down any emerging themes, preliminary interpretations, and connections with things set elsewhere in the text. Note down key words and key events. Think about the social context that exists in the text. Any power relations discussed, any cultural or social assumptions underpinning the kinds of meanings that you see. Those are just to get you going with that part. Now, developing the concepts is when you're moving from the descriptive level, and you're going to the interpretive and meaning level. So I'm going to call these, and I always have, and it's not necessarily a term, you know, you'll see consistently. But I tend to call this concepts, okay, just to separate it from a thematic analysis. It's going to a conceptual level of what's there. And so concepts are abstract ideas that are generalized from the themes, which are used to give a meaningful picture of the text. The concepts you'll come up with, they're there to illuminate social processes and phenomena that are not always immediately apparent in the descriptive or the narrative. So we're moving, not just to the story of what, you know, I did, I grew up, I went to school, I rode a bike, giving something beyond. Vocabulary, feelings, recurring activities or words can often lead to the development of concepts. Metaphors and images and symbols provide concepts, obviously. They're really the easy ones to start with. Concepts are your interpretation of the text, whereas themes are the actual words from the text which are used to support your concepts. Hence why you've got to work backwards and forwards, because you come up with a concept and then you need to go back and say, but what in the text supports that? What was actually there in words?
Okay. I don't know if I understand, really understand the difference between the themes and the concepts.
Okay, that's okay. So let's see if I can clarify the word. The themes at the first level are just the words, okay? And let's call those, for the sake of it, a unit of meaning. A unit of meaning, okay? So it's more than, it's a word, if the single word is meaningful, it's a word. If it takes a whole sentence to be meaningful, it's a sentence. If it takes a whole paragraph to be meaningful, it's the whole paragraph, okay? It refers to units of text data which serve as the basis for identifying themes. Okay, so that's your material. And then, each unit of meaning must be understandable without additional information. So it must be able to stand by itself in some way. So in other words, the word the is not a unit of meaning. Doesn't stand by itself, okay, in terms of what it's about. But something like stick insect, that does. Okay? That could be a unit of meaning, stick insect. And we go to that level. The grouping of these unit of meanings into themes should involve giving you some kind of, and this is one way in which it's done, but you don't have to this way, but it's a nice way to kind of think about it, involves a propositional statement, a statement that conveys the meaning of the data gathered together under that category, or a kind of rule for inclusion of putting it in that category. Right? Think of this as your basic thematic analysis. So if I wanted to create a category called body image from Barbara. You could see where you could go back to the text and pick out units of meaning, specific words that you could put under that, right? But we haven't interpreted anything yet, have we? It's just descriptive stuff. Okay. So that is all of that gets you just this level, right? But then if we think of the question, then we have to start to ask ourselves, well, what is it about body image that's being said? And what meaning is being conveyed in relation to body image as a theme? Sometimes it helps me to think what's not being said first, okay? Like what's not being said about body image's health. Wasn't about having a healthy body. Mm-hmm. There's no message there for that. No message about illness either. Like in terms of anorexia nervosa, I wasn't talked about. Or binging, or dieting necessarily. Well, maybe I won't say dieting because there wasn't. But I try to think what wasn't there. And then that's one way in. Another way in, sometimes you don't need that. You immediately can see certain meanings were conveyed. Okay. Now, when you get to this level, you're going to have a number of things you're probably going to do with this. Sometimes it involves just increasing body image into a bigger theme, still descriptive. So let's say under my body image theme, I think there's an overarching theme, which is perception of models in the media. Okay? She talked about Kate Moss or whatever. So let's say those two things together are what I'm now going to use to come up with an interpretive level. So stick insect, models in the media, together that gives me more information now to make an interpretation, doesn't it? So my interpretation might be something like what?
Female something.
Females are portrayed as unhealthily skinny.
Yeah.
In the media?
Yes, as abnormal, maybe. Right.
Or too skinny?
Yeah. Or that, I mean, I'm not saying I want to make the interpretation. I don't want to go that far with you right now because I think that's going to undermine your own thinking process. But yeah, that would be fine. You see, it's got to start somewhere, right? You got to jump in and start with your interpretation. Then you go back, of course, back to your data and say, to what extent does that fit? Maybe I've got to revise my themes here, my descriptive layers that I've talked about in developing that concept. Maybe I need to add more in than just the stick insect thing and the models in the media. Maybe there was more. Maybe there was, this also gave me the idea.
Identity with mother or something?
Yeah,
mother,
yeah.
Tool model?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, lots of, you know, those kind of things. So this is the process, okay? Meanwhile, you're also noting anything down that you're thinking about in relation to yourself, right, that comes up, or any external ideas or noise in your head that's going on that might be impacting on your thinking process. Okay? Like if I've been, I might think, sometimes I might think, well, yeah, I agree with this. You know, that bugs me too. Or, you know, or I know more about this than a 14-year-old, right? So I've got to think, well, what am I adding to her story that's not there? Okay? Maybe I'm filling in the gaps too much. Think about this as, you know, this is 14-year-old. So those kind of things would be thought about. So let me give you a pattern for that process to try to give you a pattern. And there's many ways to do it. It's a craft skill. Okay, so I'm not trying to do what Lisa said. I'm not trying to give you the step-by-step structure. But at the same time, I'm not trying to send you off in the dark either. So I do have a slide here.
The document you were reading from, can you have a copy of that?
My course notes. Education 222.
Okay.
Qualitative research course I taught here at SFU. Those are my notes I gave the students. Yeah, I'll send them out. On it. Yeah. Okay. And this is what's on those notes. You don't have to write them down if I send them to you. Okay? Because it's right there. Okay, so this is what I usually say to try to help. Think of the text as a story, first of all. How does each individual tell her story? What language is she using? What's her narrative tone? Is it optimistic, pessimistic, descriptive, question, defensive, whatever? Focus on how the narrative is constructed and what it achieves rather than the facts of the story. Like, what kind of is this person portraying herself to be? I'm a with-it-together young woman, or I'm a depressed, miserable, low self-esteemed whip. You know, which one is it, you know, or which combination is it that you're getting? And search for patterns among themes, among the units of meaning, okay, the conversational topics that are coming up. What topics are there? Vocabulary that's used. Any reoccurring activities, meanings, or feelings that are raised right there. Are any of the themes similar? Can you link any of them together or contrast them? Look for metaphors, images, and symbols in the narrative. Okay? Big beefy women. That's a good one. Okay, what does that conjure up? What is that? It's certainly an image, isn't it? Why use that as opposed to anything else? You know?
We're good mates. Mm-hmm. Is that the medicine for me?
It's a type of language, isn't it? Mate.
Yeah.
Which is, you'd have to remember, contextually speaking, in England, a mate saying we're good friends, right? We're good friends. So it doesn't mean any more than that. You have to. How much of this do I, you know, we need to know about language, too? You know, it's looking at a different culture is always hard. So look for classifications in the narrative about people and objects, the terms that that she's using to explain people and things. Like you just said, mate. That would be one too. Look for words and phrases that capture the meaning of what the individual is saying or doing. In other words, the way in which if she was not just what she's saying, but she's actually adding her own interpretive layer onto it. Like, so moving beyond what you might call a kind of factual fact, but putting something on it that gives that fact a meaning immediately.
You're working for yourself? Meaning that she's good at this kind of stuff.
Yes, that's right. You're working for yourself. That would be a good
independent.
One. That's right. So it's not just describing a fact. You know, you're just working, but it's got that right. It's got a whole, it's portraying a meaning saying it like that. Right.
So she's saying this biking gives you a sense of achievement, but really she's talking about herself.
Yeah, choice of words. It's really depressing with these models who look like stick insects. It's not, it's really annoying, or it's not, it's really frustrating, or it's not, it's really stupid, right? That kind of thing. What are the key events in each story, and how does she make sense of these events, and think of the social cultural context in which the story is taking place? So that's my list that I try to go through, okay? And some you'll attend to more than others. But I think those are kind of things that help question the data.